You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and my voice is almost better. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? How do you do? How do you do? How do you do? How do you do? Do you do? Yes, praise the Father in heaven, for he alone is worthy, and none compare to him. Never have and never will. There's a lot of wannabes out there. You know, I must say that I'm a little behind on my emails right now. I want to say hi to Paul. Paul J is his beginning of his last name. That's not his name, but Paul J, you know. And I just haven't got back to him yet. I will. And I've met some really dear brothers and sisters. There's a great fellow, Matt from Australia, and David from Australia. And I have different friends all over the world. I actually spoke to a friend from South Africa today, earlier on Skype. I didn't speak. We wrote back, you know, back and forth. And pray for him because he's being attacked. And his name is David. And yes, you probably know who I'm talking about. He's, Pastor Martins is having attacks on him. And serious attacks, stealing, breaking into his house and stealing his computers several times and all kinds of crazy things. I ask you, all of you, to pray that these people would not get away with any of this any longer, that the Father would protect David. David's doing good work in South Africa. But here's what I wanted to tell you. I decided to ask him, had he ever heard of Sean Ross? And he said, no, who is he, you know? And, you know, I told him that he says he's a South African fellow that lived in Switzerland, and now he's a wanderer, I told him. And it dawns on me as I'm saying he's a wanderer, what that really means. Well, I asked him, did you think that this is a South African accent? I said, one of our English brothers, Davy, had told me that that's not a South African accent. He said, it sounds like he's an Englishman that, which would make him an Afrikaner, if you know what I mean. And of course, he loves the Jews. And so it's very interesting. And so the other David from South Africa said that he sounds like a Polish Jew. He does not sound like a South African at all. So you see, people take advantage. America, how would Americans know that kind of a thing, right? So it's nice to have brothers all over the place that can give their insight into, you know, what's being said on my shows and so on and so forth. I love when you send me articles. People are sending me things that I've already had on the show months ago, but that's okay. You know, and there's a brother, Antonio, who has provided some good feedback when we're talking about the human thing. He says, and I haven't found out where this is referenced to, but he said the hue in human refers to the serpent. And I'll have to look into that. But when I'm talking about human, it's H-U-E, man. You can see, though, when I'm talking about this, that it's an amazing thing that it really does fit the program. Once you realize that we used to be called mankind, now we're called humans, you see, because Whitey's not included, and I'm telling you that's the truth. You must realize that if human rights, I said this yesterday, if human rights are so important to the world and to the UN and all these different agencies, then Whitey must be included in human rights, right? And so they'd be right down in South Africa protecting Whitey and with UN troops. But that's not the case because Whitey's not included in human. I'm telling you something that's incredible here. I'm serious. Dead up serious. When they're all talking about human rights, that means you're written out of the picture. I'm written out of the picture. Our rights don't matter to them. Only human's rights are important. And the only reason they do all the other groups, like woman's rights, is because they want to gang them up against us. And they want to use them to help destroy us. You see? Just think of what I've told you about Star Wars, about the Matrix. It's always this ragtag bunch of queers and blacks and colored people and animals and hybrids and everything. They're all going against the Empire. You get it? They're all going against the Matrix. In other words, whatever Yahweh has created, the establishment of Yahweh is the Matrix. Although when they portray Yahweh's kingdom, they portray it as evil as they possibly can. You have to understand that. I'm going to explain that in the Matrix, but they'll group up. They had a dyke in there that was part of the team and all kinds of stuff. You know what I'm trying to say? They had a woman that was there that was very, wanted to be a man, wanted to be a super warrior. You know, I don't mean a warrior for Christ. I mean, she wants to beat up men. And she wants to be anything but a woman. And the Matrix is really low grade entertainment, to be honest with you. And what you have to realize is that really, just like Star Trek Nemesis, and I talked about that, it's really cheap, sleazy writing. You know what I mean? It's not that deep. It's not like The Wizard of Oz. The Wizard of Oz is as deep as you could imagine. These wannabes today in the age of, you know, this age we're living in, the age of affirmative action, as I've entitled it, means that the musicians of today, most of them don't qualify to even be musicians in the highest arenas. And neither do the politicians, neither do the so-called medical people in the medical field, because a lot of the real doctors have quit. That's why it's getting worse and worse and worse. Affirmative action doesn't necessarily have to mean that it's negroid. There's many people doing jobs that they're not qualified for. And they're, of course, many of them are hybrids. They're humans. The human race. Now, when talking, Antonio, about the human being the serpent, we already know that the Jews are the dragon seed. We already know that the Asians are the dragon seed. The Japanese, Japan, as Dr. Wesley Swift put it, mixed with white people. But most, I mean, when you look at what all I've shown about what has happened to the Jews have mixed with so many races, almost half or more of South America are Jews. And I think it's way more. So what I'm saying, what you're saying about human being the serpent is almost correct. It's just that there's, like I say also, that the blacks mixed with the seed line of Cain, which would make them the dragon seed. So you're right in that sense. And he explained to me, he said, you know, he was just saying that the color white is not the absence of color. It's all colors mixed together. But yet I produced something because I knew about this. And it does say that white is the absence of color. But he's right too, because this fellow understands these things, you know. See, if all the colors are mixed together and nobody knows how it could be done, how do you mix a bunch of paints together to make it white? It's not that type of thing. And I would like to ask Antonio, and I've talked about light many times being frequencies. And what I talk about is there's Yahweh's pure light, and then there's distorted light, which are different frequencies. They're impure light. Just like distorted sound is an impure frequency. Am I correct about this? In other words, the devil's light that they're seeking in the Freemasonic Lodge is not the pure light of Yahweh. It's corrupted. It's distorted light. And I believe that's correct. You know, I told him, I said, I don't know everything. I just don't. And he said, me too, you know. But it's, you know, I'm not always going to be perfectly right about everything I say, because I'm as imperfect as anybody is. And I don't know it all. And I never would tell you or try to act like I do. See, I love to learn. And if you're learning, that means you don't know it all. You see, if you knew it all, why would you need to learn? But I'm humble in the sense where I can be corrected. I'm not above correction, like Mr. Wickstrom was. Boy, that'll get Skip Baker going. His CIA patch will pop right off his shirt. So anyway, please pray for David in South Africa. He's a pastor and he's under heavy attack. The world that we live in is full of vermin. Whether it's mice, whether it's ticks and fleas. And every one of us have to put up with vermin and deal with it. You see, there's human vermin. And of course, there are vermin from the animal kingdom and the so on and so forth, the insect kingdom. And, you know, this is what we've got to deal with in this world, day in and day out. But I wanted to mention this also, that the Father helps us in more ways than you could ever imagine. I really do believe that. I don't believe we realize just how much He helps us. But I will tell you this, and I've told you this before, that we all need to thank the Father all the time. Don't wait until times are bad to thank Him. Thank Him when times are good. Talk to Him when times are good. Love Him when times are good. Don't just wait until something bad happens. How would you like that? So amazing all the things that we're learning at this point. And if you're going to be reading along in Fritz Springmeier's book, we're on page 382. And the first thing it starts off with is Kabbalistic Jews. Now that I've said this, this is what Fetcho, I believe, is a Kabbalistic Jew. And this is what Adam Green is as well. They're both teaching the Kabbalah. They're both promoting the Kabbalah. And just like Brian Rue, they've joined the truth movement to promote Antichrist themes like the Kabbalah and Buddhism. You see? It's a technique. They join the truth movement, and the only reason they're reason they're telling any truth at all about anything is because they want to you to trust in them, and then they'll be able to enlighten you with the Kabbalah. So, Kabbalistic Jews, are you ready? Illumined Kabbalistic Jews infiltrated Catholicism over the Middle Ages. Pope Leo X, Giovanni de' Medici of Florence. See, Leo X obviously is a Jew. Medici's a Jew. De' Medici. Pope from 1513 to 1521 was interested in the Kabbalah. The de' Medicis have been a powerful family in Italy. They're from the black nobility. This family provided several popes, including Leo the 11th, Clement the 7th, and Leo the 10th. The Merovingian dynasty provided Pope Stephen the 9th. The 9th. Yes. Yes, as I say on the news show. Now, this Merovingian dynasty were a dynasty of red-headed kings. And this dynasty supposedly comes from the bloodline of David. Now, I don't know if they believe that David is a Jew, because he's not. And so if these Merovingian kings, these red-headed kings, believe they're from David, a Jewish David, which doesn't exist, then they're obviously Jews. But you know what they also say is in these books that come out, you know, Holy Blood, Holy Grail, they tried to say that Jesus never died on the cross and that he married Mary Magdalene and had children. You know what that means, right? It's just like the Catholics. Christ is still hanging on the cross, still nailed to the cross. He never has risen, according to the Catholic Church. He's still nailed there. That's blasphemy. That's anti-Christ blasphemy. So I just wanted you to know about the Merovingian dynasty. See, Mer, M-E-R, is what it's all about. Merlin, you know who Merlin is? From Arthurian legend. Yeah. You know what a mermaid is? A red-headed half-breed fish and human or woman? Yeah. Mare. Like the woman in Germany pointed out to me, you have Merkel, M-E-R, mare. And she seems to have red hair too, doesn't she? Think about all these things. Isn't it amazing? And I'm sure there's much more that could be added about the Merovingian dynasty. So, let's continue. Jewish literature today brags about how the Meranos, which means swine, don't cast your pearls before Meranos. You see? That's what it comes down to. Jewish literature today brags about how the Meranos in Spain were able on a large scale to pretend to accept Catholicism. Actually, the Catholic Church set itself up for what happened. To give a specific example, we already know about this, you and I. We've already been through this. They set themselves up. I can already tell you how they set themselves up. They didn't listen to Jesus Christ when he said, when he taught in parables and didn't teach these people, because he knew better. He knew they couldn't be converted. But they still went on and pretended or believed that these Jews could really truly be converted. They can't. And if they had listened to Jesus Christ, which they didn't, they could have saved a lot of heartache, a lot of deception, a lot of trouble. So, actually, the Catholic Church set itself up for what happened. To give a specific example, that is representative of what took place in Catholic Europe. The city of Toledo, remember that? may be presented. Toledo was one of the main centers of Illuminism. On May 24th, 1485, the Spanish Inquisition came to Toledo. A time of grace was given to the Jews to convert before violence would start. It appears that 3,000 Sephardic Jews became conversos, quote unquote, during the periods of grace given them. It is likely that the Toledo, I have to scroll down, population was between 15 and 18,000 in 1486. Upwards of 20% of Toledo's population was Sephardic, that is, genetically related to Judea and Palestine. But we know that's not true. They're not related to Palestine. Mr. Fritz, they have nothing to do with it. Of course, they were in Judea. I will admit that they had followed us and they were there. So I guess you're right, technically. But they weren't there. It wasn't their land. It wasn't their country. And Judea, as we know, the origin of the name, it wasn't in Jerusalem. It was in the, what do you call it? The territory of Benjamin, which those two tribes were together, but it was not in the original city. Judea is different than Jerusalem. And it says, and many were prominent citizens. These Sephardic Jews had to march in groups of 500 to 750 persons in procession through Toledo's streets to the cathedral and publicly confess their sins. Then they were disabled, quote unquote. That is prohibited in some ways to cramp their style, such as prohibited to hold certain offices and to drink alcohol. He spells it wrong here. The strength of these prohibitions can be seen in that many soon regained their old offices in spite of the prohibitions. The real effect was to make many Jews who were into the Kabbalah become Catholic in name and to hide their Jewishness. Many changed their last names, and by some coincidence, almost all key public records have disappeared. Jeez, where have we heard that before? That's happening in Germany right now, making it difficult to trace and positively identify who were Jews back then. Now, let me stop right there. How interesting what was just said right there. What did we just say right there? Now, in Portugal, in the news this week, they're trying to stop these people from getting citizenship that are tricking them. Now, if all those, here's the question right now. If all key public records have disappeared, and of course the same thing happened in Spain and Portugal, then how would these people be able to prove their citizenship? It would be fraud. They'd be proving it by ways of fraud, which is what the Jews do anyway, right? But you see, this tells you right here that all key public records have disappeared, making it difficult to trace and positively identify who were Jews back then. The Quietism of Spain, which included Michael de Molinos, was associated with Illuminism. Catholic royalty looks to Jews. Catholic royalty during the Middle Ages often turned to the Jews for help. The Jews became the court astrologers and magicians. What have I told you before? Remember, the king would be there, and he'd have this fellow with a cone-shaped hat with the stars and the moon on it, and a wand. There's your Jew. He got good and close to the king so he could be his advisor, his seer, his dream, just like King Nebuchadnezzar, right? So listen again. The Jews became the court astrologers and magicians. Because Christians were prohibited from taking any interest on money, in general, only the Jews were into money lending. See chapter 3.2. When kings and princes needed money for their wars or extravagances, they went to the Jewish money lenders. Catholic Europe's trade with Cathay, which was China, very interesting, Cathay was China, was controlled by the Jews. Again, let me say this again. Catholic Europe's trade with China, Cathay, was controlled by the Jews. And so were the Italian banks, which resulted. Now, let me just stop right there. You wonder why they've taken all our industry away from America, even though they control that here anyway. And now we're doing all this trade with China. If they controlled the trade with China back then, who do you think controls it today? Duh. See? See, the world makes sense when you really know who's who and who's Jew. And what Jews do, I would add to that. And what they've done. How they operate. This is one of my missions is to teach you the patterns of the Jews, how they operate. Do I understand everything they do? No, I'm learning. But we've learned a lot, haven't we? We know one thing for sure. The Jews never truly convert to Christianity. We're sure of this. So, back to the book. Marco Polo wrote in his book in 1286 about how the Jews controlled trade with Cathay, which is China, as well as having political power there, and how they operated the trade routes between the Kingdom of Franks in France and China and India. Get it? They operated the trade routes between the Kingdom of Franks in France and China and India. In other words, Cathay being China. In China, the only Jewish community to hold on to its identity up to modern times was in Kaifeng. That's K-A-I-F-E-N-G. There's a story about this on my website on davidjamesboston.com. Again, you see, of course the Jews would mix with these Chinese, right? Like they've mixed with everybody. And of course they'd mix with the dragon seed because they are Turco-Mongolian. Not all of them. There's other kinds of Jews too. Sephardic Jews. They're all colored man though. No matter if they look white or not, they're colored. They're human. That's why they're so interested in human's rights. This author has read Jewish boasts that they are superior to the Gentiles and therefore deserve to rule the world. Let me interject. I can't help but continuing to interject. What I've found out and what I've taught you over these years here is that the Jews are incapable of running the world. You can even see that as good as they are with money, they're incapable of running that as well. Because the Jews, even when they have a great deal going for them, it's never enough. So they never know when to stop and leave things as they are. It's like a chef, maybe, that would cook a good meal, but ruin it with too many spices and too many augmentations. Or a painter who paints a painting and doesn't know when it's time to stop. That's how the Jew is. They're incapable of running the world. So, they say, though, that they deserve to rule the world. In the tug of war between the Jews and Catholics, the Jews have exhibited shrewdness. A horse is a horse, of course, of course. If ever a horse was a horse, a horse. Yeah. Rabbinical Judaism. The Pharisees secretly perpetuated the Kabbalah, also spelled Kabbalah, etc. I've taught you about this before, that Kabbalah is spelled with a C, a K, and a Q, and sometimes they'll even put an H at the end of each of those. And why did I tell you that? That's how you hide things. an ancient occult Gnosticism from Babylon. That's what this Kabbalah is. This is what is known as rabbinical Judaism. You see, if Judaism is the Kabbalah, and communism is Judaism, according to Rabbi Wise, then obviously communism is Judaism, and so is the Kabbalah. Communism is the Kabbalah. Because we know that Freemasonry, admitted by Albert Pike, that it's based on the Kabbalah. So if somebody's trying to teach you the Kabbalah, now, listen, I've talked about the one is A, two is B, but I didn't even know that was the Kabbalah. I figured that out with license plates. I explained that before. But now I know it's part of the Kabbalah. Neither here nor there. If somebody's trying to teach you the Kabbalah, that means they're pro-Freemason, they're pro-Jew, and pro-communism, while they rail against the Jews. See, the railing against the Jews part is just part of the game. The important thing is they want you to trust them so that they can teach you the Kabbalah and teach you to be an Antichrist like they are. So, the illumination, magic, and astrology that made up the Babylonian religion were continued under its present name today, Rabbinic Judaism. So we see, when I told you that the Pharisees were practicing black magic in the time of Yeshua, and they still are today, you now know that I told you the truth. This is an affirmation, but you knew that anyway, I'm sure. So, repackaged again as New Age teachings, I hope you're listening, it is seeping into the Christian churches, the Kabbalah. See? The Catholic, see, you got to realize that Fetcho's laughing because he's on EFR, and EFR is supposed to be, supposed to be Christian, but it's very Antichrist at the moment, for the most part. It's got Jews, Freemasons, Kabbalists, etc., etc., under its helm. And people that I don't believe really believe in Jesus Christ. Agents. Neither here nor there. This is what it's all about. I'll read this again. Repackaged again as New Age teachings, it is seeping into the Christian churches. The Catholic Church viewed the Jews as a special threat, but their response in some ways was improper, misguided, and inadequate. In some ways? The best evidence concerning the Catholic Church's fear concerning the Jews exposes two major threats to Catholicism. The Jews were protecting a secret bloodline to enthrone a new Messiah. The lineage is the Merovingian lineage that the Prayer de Zion has preserved. See the index for more information on the Prayer de Zion and the complete Talmud, which became available at the time of Luther's challenge, clearly promoted the destruction and subjugation of the so-called Gentiles, means the white people, in this case, by the Jewish people. It is difficult now to find complete or a complete Talmud. Even the partial translations paraded as complete translations are not numerous. The top leaders of the Catholic Church reacted to the first threat by trying to destroy bloodlines and by keeping the subject quiet. Concerning the Talmud, the Catholic Church tried to burn it out of existence. Too bad it didn't. The Talmud was burned in 1244 in Paris and subsequently in other cities. Yes, that burning when they recently burnt down the Church of Notre Dame, Our Dear Lady, not the Church of Jesus Christ, not the Church of Yahweh, the Church of Our Dear Lady Mary. You know Queen Diana. That was the revenge for the burnings. See, these Jews want revenge. I try to prove this over and over, that they don't sleep on this revenge stuff. This continues on and on and on. They never forget this stuff. See, that proves that they're not Anglo-Saxon people. The reason why we forget things is not because we don't have the capability to have a good memory. It's that we forgive and forget. The Jews do not forgive and they do not forget. That's how I exposed those people that were claiming they were, I'm trying to think of the name of it right now, but they said the very thing that the Mossad says, that they were the ones wearing those masks and they would come out and do these messages. I just can't think of it right off the top of my head because it was a while ago, but I haven't heard anything from them since. But, you know, maybe here or there once or twice or something, but really not much. But Anonymous, they were called. Yeah. And they would say, we do not forgive and we do not forget. You see? And so it was very evident who they really were. So that proves to you that the Jews aren't of the Father. They're not the Father's offspring. See, their Father does not forgive or forget either, and has shown us this right from the garden and right up to the moment of today. Make no mistake, they are of their father, the devil. There's no question. I know you've heard that so many times, but you have to see the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And these people do not have mercy. One of the attributes of the Anglo-Saxon race, Celtic, you know, all of our white people, all of the white race, is we're very merciful. We're forgiving. We forget. We don't hold grudges. When you heard about the Hatfields and McCoys, or you hear about the mafia, you have to wonder if the Hatfields and McCoys were actually had Jewish blood in them, right? Something you might have never thought of. See, the Jews are like their father. They're not like our father. And that proves that they're not of the tribes of Israel, just with that alone. You think about what I'm telling you, because it's true. They don't have the attributes of our father. They have the attributes of their father. That is a testimony, ladies and gentlemen. And should testify to all Christians all throughout the world who these people really are. So, they got their revenge for the Talmud being burned in 1244. Some rabbi said so. The bloodline and the Crusades. As is often the case, motivations can be complex. The Crusades were in the Catholic Church's response to the Catholic Church's response to the horrible conquests by the Muslims. As has often been the case, the Catholic Church has often been her own worst enemy. According to one ex-priest, the Catholic Church had helped finance Mohammed. Now, we've heard that it was a Jew, didn't we? But let me interject on that, though. It's probably both of those are true, because the Catholics are controlled by Jews anyway. But one thing if you haven't heard about this, in the Middle East, supposedly, and I've been to the Middle East, but I've never seen this, I never would have looked for it, wherever there's a mosque, right near it will be a Catholic church. That would be maybe a testimony to what's being said here. According to one ex-priest, the Catholic Church had helped finance Muhammad. Muhammad gained much of his religious knowledge from the Nestorian Christianity, which pervaded that area of the world. Nestorian, I've never heard of that. If all that isn't enough to confuse the issue, it appears that the Catholic Pope was prompted to start the Crusades by the secret bloodline considering themselves to be the lineage of King David and Jesus Christ. Using Catholic power, they hoped to gain Palestine, which they considered historically theirs. See, everybody thinks Palestine's theirs, but Yeshua said that that place, until he returns, that place is cursed. And you can see it's cursed because look at the Jews living there. There's no peace. There's theft of land. There's killings, unjust killings, and all kinds of things. Did you hear about the blood flowing through the river down there? And it's been going on off and on for a long time now, for a good while. Yes, there's some wild things going on. That place is cursed. See, the Jew says, I'll return to Palestine and we'll build. This is the Edomite saying this. But the Father says he will destroy it. And it is destroyed. It's in a state of destruction, even though they're trying to build it. They're not going to have their way any more with the Jew world order than they are with Palestine. With all the pretense of that being a country and all these things, it's not. So, the Knights Templars. We'll read this and then we'll take a quick break. The Knights Templars became a visible military monk order of this bloodline, the Merovingian bloodline, which anticipated that when the timing was right, a new kingdom of David would be proclaimed. The Knights Templars increased in power until they were one of the dominant powers in Europe. Remember, they were international, the first international bankers? But the intervention by the King of France, with the Pope's cooperation, upset their prime or their timetable. The Knights Templars were arrested in France. In order to survive in Spain and Scotland, they took on a low profile. In Germany, they evolved into the Teutonic Knights. In Spain and Portugal, they became the order that sent the Jewish captain known as Christopher Columbus. That's what I told you, he was a Jew. The goddess Columbus. You see, I must interject on this. Here again, we've just proved that America was not discovered in 1492 by Christopher Columbus. What happened is the Murano Jews, the people that were in Spain, the queen there, told them either you become Catholics or get out. So, the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria, under the guiding of Christopher Columbus, the Jew, brought Jews to the American continent. See, again, our brothers kick the Jews out, and then they just come to another one of our lands and destroy, kill, steal, and destroy once again. Vermin continue to multiply. So, in Spain and Portugal, they became the order that sent out the order that sent out the Jewish captain known as Christopher Columbus. Columbus sailed with the Templars' order Red Cross logos on his sails. Well-known pictures of his ships display this. The Rosy Cross, the Red Cross, will reappear in other scenarios connected with secret societies. Undercurrents of the occult seem to never cease. Lorenzo de Medici, who was a distinguished Platonist and a patron of secret societies, and a member of the black nobility, like I said, the Medicis are bankers in Italy, but they're Jews. In the guises of Italians, you see? Is said by some to have helped Columbus with the connections to sail. Columbus is said by several historians to have been from Greece. Even if Columbus was of Jewish heritage and from Greece, the records show he was firmly committed to a strong display of Catholicism. Even more plausible than his Jewishness is his strong connection that seems certain between Columbus and secret societies. Even his signature is a cipher. Let's take a break there, ladies and gentlemen. This is a song from, an instrumental from my album. It's called Spring Meadows. And it's my instrumental album, Turning Pages. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Saxon's Creed Radio Show, brought to you by DavidJamesBoston.com, your source for the truth. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we certainly are discovering that we were not discovered in 1492. Stop laughing over there, you. No, laugh all you want. Laughter is great. It's very good for us. Just joking. Let's continue. The Order of Jesuits gave the Illuminists a secret channel to subvert the Catholic Church. It's called the Order of the Jesuits. Note, for instance, that the famous Illuminati of Bavaria was created at the Jesuit College at Ingolstadt, Bavaria. Adam Weishaupt who founded this branch of the Illuminati was a Jewish Jesuit professor. He was also involved in the Catholic Church. You see, there's always a Catholic Jesuit Jew connection with the Illuminati. And the reason why the Jesuits, just so you'll know, before it was called the Illuminati, they were called the Alumbrados, which means the same thing, to be illuminated. Illumined, you know. So also note that Ignaz Aurelius Fessler, 1756 to 1839, who received a Jesuit education at Rab, Hungary, started a Masonic group in Russia in the early 19th century called the Illuminati, quote unquote, or hateful revolutionaries, quote unquote. I've never heard of that. Again, another Jesuit example is Francisco Calvo, 1820 to 1890. Calvo was a Jesuit priest. Calvo was a 33-degree Mason. He obtained a Scottish Rite charter from Spain and organized the Scottish Rite in Costa Rica. The president of Costa Rica in 1847 through 49, Dr. Jose Maria Castro, was also a co-founder of the Scottish Rite in Costa Rica. Good old Joe Castro. We know that Castro is a Jew down there, the one that died there. You know, did you know that Fidel Castro was a Jew? The mystic Saint Ignatius of Loyola founded the Order of Jesuits, according to the Catholic Encyclopedia, Volume 16, printed in 1914 with the approval of the Pope's censor and imprimatur. Ignatius of Loyola and St. John of Avila were brought before the Inquisition Council concerning links to the Illuminati in Spain, the Alumbrados, just like I told you. There it is. This Catholic source also states that the Illuminati believed that they could become the essence of God, quote unquote, and that the highest perfection was in the elimination of all activity, and for the self to be absorbed into God. For them, carnal desires and actions are not sinful and can be engaged in. What the article describes as Illuminati beliefs are what is known as Hinduism. Illuminati goals. For those who have not studied the Illuminati and their goals, let us review a summary of their tenets. And of course, these are the same goals of the Jews and the communists, which are all one. First, the abolition of monarchies and all ordered governments. Second, abolition of private property and inheritances. Third, abolition of patriotism and nationalism. Do we have any of that going on today? Abolition of family life and the institution of marriage, and the establishment of communal education of children by the state. Do we have that today? Abolition of religion, except illumination, which is based on the occult belief man can become God. Promise of the garden, ladies and gentlemen. Weishaupt's Jewish backers. Behind Adam Weishaupt was a man named Nikolai, who had established in Berlin a literary group to propagate Illuminism. Nikolai, in turn, was supported by Lessing and Mendelssohn, Jews, yes. The Mason Gotthold Ephraim Lessing, 1729 to 1781, the founder of modern German literature, gave his support to this anti-Christian Nikolai in his literary endeavors. Also, one learns in the memoirs of Moses Mendelssohn, that's the Jew, that he was behind the efforts of Nikolai. Moses Mendelssohn was part of the International Jewish Kahal, world government. Moses Mendelssohn, a.k.a. Moses Dessau, that's D-S-S-A-U, was impressed by the Jewish thinker Maimonides, who taught millennialism. and the Mason Locke, who taught the importance of human reason. Yes, human reason. And of course, this is exactly how Sherlock Holmes solves his cases. I was going to say does his cases, but solves his cases. My, how the dots can connect. It was not long before the Rothschilds and other influential Jews added their support to Adam Weishaupt's Bavarian Illuminati. In that day, the Jewish communities were all linked. Often their secret communications only needed to be written in Hebrew letters, because outside of some scholars, that was enough of a code to keep messages fairly secure. The anonymous author of Witchcraft and the Illuminati, perhaps borrowing from Dr. Tom Berry's The Illuminati, says that Adam Weishaupt got some of his occult books, The Major Keys of Solomon and The Lesser Keys of Solomon, and The Kabbalah, from the Rothschilds. Whether this is accurate or not, the author hasn't confirmed. However, it is accurate that the Rothschilds did get involved. For more about them, see Chapter 3.3. Most of the groups that have become illuminated are not called Illuminati. One of the principles of the Illuminati, as revealed in the paperwork confiscated by the Bavarian police, was that all Illuminati groups had orders to conceal the very existence of their groups, and if known at all, to represent themselves as unimportant philanthropic movements. The leaders of these various groups would each get to play roles in the coming planned illumination of the world, and they have. While the Catholic Church has appeared to be a bulwark, against Masonry and Illuminism, it has not been exempt from their penetration. Historian Nesta Webster, in his book, I swear that's a woman. Isn't Nesta Webster a woman? Maybe I'm wrong. Wow, I thought Nesta Webster was a woman. Anyway, take it for what it's worth at this moment. Historian Nesta Webster, in his book, World Revolution, seems to desire to limit the involvement of the Jesuits, although he does report that two of the first recruits of Weishaupt were ex-Jesuits. Weishaupt attributes his own description of their code of conduct, Der Zweck heiligt die Mittel. The end sanctifies the means. The ends justify the means. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, hello, hello. Are you connecting the dots? Saul Alinsky, Freemasonry, Jewry, the ends justify the means. Der Zweck heiligt die Mittel. Various Catholic and Jesuit works verify this as a Jesuit attitude. John Robinson, who gives an excellent picture in his Proofs of a Conspiracy of the various people who use the Masonic Lodge for devious purposes, indicates in several places that the early Masonic Lodges were used by the Jesuits. At this time, after King James had fled to France, also the Jesuits took a more active hand in Freemasonry than ever. They insinuated themselves into the English Lodges. You see, here it is, vermin penetrating again. At this time, changes were made in some of the Masonic symbols, particularly in the tracing of the lodge, which bear evident marks of Jesuit interference. By adept use of old rivalries, those desiring to create a one-world government, you mean a Jew world order, have played off their rivals against one another and sneaked in and captured the remains. This movement is what Robeson, in the 1798 book called the Cosmopolitan Movement. The Cosmopolitan Movement. The World Movement. Look up the word cosmopolitan sometime. Cosmos is Greek for world, and Poles is a city, hence cosmopolitan in Robeson's use means citizenship of the world. Who are the global citizens? Who are the internationalists that hate nationalism, that want to have a global government and a global economy and a global religion, one world? Who is it? Is it those people with the three parentheses? Oh, yes, it is. And some white traders along the way. The most zealous cosmopolitans or one-worlders in Robeson's day were the Loge de Chevaliers, Bienfaisant at Lyon. Remember, it was from Lyon that the Scottish Rite traveled to the Americas. That lodge's grand masters were Duc de Chartres, the next Orleans. You've heard of the Duke of Orleans. And after him, Egalite. The Paris and Strasbourg lodges, among others, were daughter lodges from Lyon. Principal Catholic strongholds weakened. Poland, because it was such a geological asset of the Catholic Church, was destroyed as a nation by the Masons. You mean, let me translate that. Was destroyed by the Jews and the white people that helped them. The French Revolution, planned by the Illuminati, Jewilluminati, through several secret societies like the Jacobins, wiped out the Catholic clergy without mercy. After the French Revolution, Napoleon and his four brothers, who were also Freemasons, continued to break the Roman Catholic Church's power. Napoleon broke the temporal power of the Pope. Napoleon also seized and carted off to Paris almost all the Vatican's archives, where fraternal scholars from several secret orders began examining them. More about this later. If this wasn't enough, the Masons Mazzini, and Mazzini means Mason, as far as I know. I'll have to do that in a translator just to make sure. And Garibaldi led a revolution in Italy and installed a Masonic government. No, say it ain't so. Another Masonic revolution? After Masonry conquered France, Grand Master and Illuminatus Lafayette directed the Mason Bernardo O'Higgins and Simon Bolivar to revolt in South America against Catholic Spain. Likewise, he encouraged Juarez to revolt against Spain in Mexico. Since then, the Masons, like Mason and President Diaz of Mexico, have held sway over the Catholic Mexico. The Mexican government has often been anti-Catholic. Mexico has been a confusion in competing lodge systems. These various revolutions were intended and succeeded in curtailing the Catholic Church's power. The secret black pope and the company, quote unquote, the company. You've heard of the company, haven't you? CIA? The Jesuit, I think that's what they were called, the firm or the company. The Jesuit control of the Catholic Church is known to some. In Italy, the Jesuit Master General is called the Black Pope because they realize how much power the Grand Master wields. Every Catholic country has at some time expelled the order because it wields its own power. The order is also called by the Jesuits themselves the company. In understanding the mechanisms of power within the Catholic Church and the Catholic Church's leverage on world events, it is crucial to know what the Jesuits are about. However, in modern times, there often hasn't been any difference between the white and black popes. A big exception was on October 5th, 1978, when Pope John Paul I replaced Master General Arupe with his personal delegate, Paolo Deza, According to Dr. Alberto R. Rivera, who claims he was a Jesuit priest, he was shocked when he learned in the early 60s that his Jesuit master general, head of all the Jesuits, was a Freemason and had close ties to the Illuminati in London. We've heard this before. One reason it was so shocking was that the Jesuit priests were being taught to regard the Freemasons as enemies. See how both sides of the track? Remember, we've read this before somewhere. And I believe it was in, it could have been in that Catholic book. Dr. Rivera is a controversial person. A letter written to him by this author asking for clarification or confirmation of his story was never answered. I'm surprised. Illuminati plans, Jew-Illuminati plans for world domination. Before World War I, none of these who designed plans for the Jew world government display any sense of urgency. Nothing in the state of the world demanded a one world government. The reason was that in the era prior to World War I, nationalism was working beautifully. Europe, with only some minor exceptions like the Franco-Prussia War, had enjoyed peace. Travel throughout Europe was unrestricted, and a person without a passport could travel all over Europe with new ease that railroads were providing. Post-millennialists were in large supply. They felt assured that the events would continue improving until the earth would become a paradise. However, Jew-illuminated plans had long been in the making to create conflict in order to bring into being a worldwide popular desire for a world state. This is disgusting. It really is disgusting to me that this all goes on and on and on. Imagine spending, you know, Nimrod had the New World Order back then, but it didn't last because the Father wouldn't let it last. That's why he changed the languages and further separated the continents after he sent the people where he wanted them to be. And they've spent over 1,000 years, at least, getting to this point of this one world government nonsense. You know that the Father's not going to allow it any more than he allowed Nimrod to have it. It's just not going to be allowed. Grand Orient Masonry. The Grand Orient Masonry became Jew-illuminated in 1789. In 1860, the Grand Orient Lodges established communism. Did you just hear that? In 1860, the Grand Orient Lodges established communism, which is a step in the implementation of Illuminati goals. The Jewish Masons, Marx and Engels, were prominent in the creation of communism. Mazzini was even more influential. Notice how I've never noticed that Karl Marx was a Mason or Engels. Funny how the world let that be skipped. Marx, even in 1848, knew of a coming world war, which would destroy reactionary dynasties in what he called riffraff, quote-unquote, peoples, such as the Slavic races. The two most powerful Masons of that time, Albert Pike and Mazzini, wrote of the coming world wars. You know about that. It was Mazzini, perhaps, who proposed that it would take three world wars to destroy the world's love for nationalism and to ensure the people would demand a one-world government. A letter written in 1871 and sent to various Masonic lodges, one found its way into the London Museum, explains how three world wars were to be created to bring in a world government. From what I understand, that letter has been removed now. World War One. What instruments were used to bring about World War One? The Freemasons and the Order of the Jesuits. The Freemasons were involved in the assassination of the Archduke, which touched off a chain of reactions. Now, here we are again, ladies and gentlemen. They killed the Huguenots. They caused the French Revolution. They caused the Bolshevik Revolution. They caused the American Revolution. They caused the revolutions down in South America, as we've seen. They've caused the world wars. The Freemasons were involved in the assassination of the Archduke, which touched off a chain of reactions. The Jesuit influence on the Austria-Hungarian Empire egged them into taking punitive measures against Serbia. By the way, the Austria-Hungarian Empire was huge. You won't see that on today's maps, but you will if you look at older maps. You'll see it was a huge change. The Vatican threw their support behind the Central Powers, hoping to see their enemies, the Orthodox Church in Russia and the Balkans, the English, and the uncooperative French government taken care of. The Vatican's ancient fear of its old rivalries gave the an easy button to push. Excuse me there. World War II. The forces the Vatican had hoped would win were crushed, and the Vatican reacted predictably with the new power moves. The Catholic Church was losing power fast in Europe. The fascism of Mussolini was the answer to the problem in Italy. The Catholic Church threw its support behind Hitler. Here we find an alliance between the Catholic Church bent on protecting her position and the occult. Nazism? There is no Nazism. I'm just going to skip that. Hitler gave the Catholic Church great power, but had he won, his ultimate plans were to control and remake Catholicism for his New Age religion. Sure. Hitler spoke of the German mission to protect Christian Europe against Bolshevik Asiatic hordes, but this was only political propaganda. Oh, really? As the Nazis were no more Christian than the persecuting emperors of the Roman Empire or Stalin's satraps. 4,000 Roman Catholic priests and monks were probably as many other dedicated leaders and laymen of the Lutheran and other Protestant churches were killed. They weren't killed by the Germans, ladies and gentlemen. Even Russia is correcting these things now. The Vatican was manipulated into thinking that Hitler and Mussolini would bring them what they wanted. Both Hitler and Mussolini gave the Catholic Church extensive benefits and boosted her waning temporal strength. Another agreement gave the Catholic Church the exclusive privilege to follow the German armies, they call it Nazi, into Russia and convert the Russians. Actually, the Catholics that the Germans dealt with were only German Catholics, not the worldwide Catholic Church. The three Freemasons who led the three most powerful nations, Stalin, Roosevelt, and Churchill, all Freemasons. Notice how he doesn't mention all Jews, and yet he told us before that Stalin was a Jew. Got the war that they had planned. They secretly used the war to further illuminated plans in many ways. Yeah, the New Deal. The Catholic Church hoped the Germans would wipe out a secret order that is believed that they were the blood lineage of Jesus Christ. This lineage was called the Holy Grail, the Merovingians, ladies and gentlemen. Its secret elimination would destroy a potential rival to the Catholic Church. The Germans hoped to use the Holy Grail for their own use and sought not just the blood lineage, but the Grail cup that stood for the lineage. Masonry, especially the Mizraim Rite, which we know is Jewish. And he's not mentioning that. He mentioned it before, but he's not saying that here. It's predominantly a Jewish rite. Especially the Mizraim Rite, but also the Scottish Rite, is intimately connected to the preservation of that holy lineage. The destruction of the Orthodox Jews. Yes, 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 yes. The two Orthodox Jews, two Orthodox Jews have come out with the shocking evidence in their books, Perfidy and the Holocaust Victims. What their evidence indicates is what the Zionist and Reform Jews sacrificed the Orthodox Jews of Europe. More and more Orthodox Jews are writing books and telling the truth of their betrayal by the Zionist Jews who were in positions of power. Ladies and gentlemen, the good Jews and the bad Jews. Oh, those good Jews, you know. Sean Ross talked about how the Jews are good. And Eli James and Andrew Carrington Hitchcock talked about those good Jews, too. There's a lot of good Jews, you know. You do believe that, don't you? And Benjamin Friedman talked about how 95% of Jewry was these evil Khazarian. And they're not really Jewish. But there's 5% that are the real Jews. Yes. Oh, I believe all of this. And you should too. Oh, yes, you should. Yes, we don't see another Hegelian dialectic here, do we? Oh, it's amazing. It's so easily seen. Malkale Greenwald, a Holocaust researcher, discovered that a certain high-ranking Israeli official named Rudolf Kastner was directly responsible for the slaughter of 1 million Hungarian Orthodox Jews. Further, it turns out that the emigration bureaucracy of the Third Reich was run by Zionist Jews. Therefore, the Rothschilds and the other Jews of the Reform variety got out. The Orthodox were abandoned. Powerful Reform Jews in the nations like the U.S. encouraged the prohibitions of Orthodox Jews immigrating before World War II to safety. It could be said that Jewish power was strong enough to get Roosevelt elected. Did you hear that? It could be said that Jewish power was strong enough to get Roosevelt elected. And of course he went, I believe it's 4 terms. That's not even allowed. But not strong enough to raise a protest to get Orthodox Jews out of Germany. See, well, let me interpret this to you. The Jews will sacrifice some of their own in order to, in other words, let me just say it again. The ends justify the means. Yeah, I'm leaving space there for you to think about that. Yes, that's what it's all about. Don't be fooled, because there are no good Jews. There might be Jews that might appear to be good to you. They might, every time they're around you, they might be smiling and nice and everything else. But so are queers, because the Jews taught them, and the Jews are queers. They taught them to, that this is how you get people's favor. It's a sort of flattery, a subtle flattery. So, oh, it's amazing. It really is. Jewish author David S. Wyman. Oh, Wyman, just like the guy in the Rolling Stones. In The Abandonment of the Jews, writes on pages 198 and 199, the Jewish Emergency Committee worked almost alone for the passage through our Congress of the rescue resolution. Zionist leaders acting through the American Jewish Conference even hampered its progress. Stephen Wise had based his testimony on policy set by Zionist leaders of the American Jewish Conference. This group, which included Wise, Abba Hillel Silver, Nahum Goodman, Herman Shulman, and Babby Irving Miller, I told you Miller was one of their names, had taken sounding in Congress and must have realized that pressing the Palestine issue could not help the rescue resolution and might jeopardize it. Whether they intended to undermine the legislation or is not entirely clear. On page 200, we read, the emergency committee, parts of the Jewish press, and even one prominent Zionist, Rabbi Meir Berlin, publicly accused Zionist leaders of internationally obstructing the rescue resolution. Senator Gillette, that's another Jew name, a dedicated friend of Zionism, candidly discussed the obstruction he encountered from Zionist leaders. These people used every effort, every means at their disposal to block the resolution. They tried to defeat it by offering the amendment to it that would raise the question, the controversial question of Zionism or anti-Zionism, or anything else that would block the action they were seeking. Now, let me state this. The reason the Jews would want to kill some of the Orthodox Jews is if the Orthodox Jews were standing in the way of the ends that they're seeking. And that is exactly what it is. Think about it logically. It's very simple. And also, of course, it fits their propaganda. It fits their persecution complex nonsense and everything else. In 1985, a Zionist Jew wrote The Abandonment of the Jews. This book, written from a Zionist perspective, actually states the truth, that the Zionists made a decision to concentrate on the creation of the nation of Israel, which is not a nation at all, rather than try to save Orthodox Jews in Europe. You see what I mean? The ends justify the means. In other words, if they're this little deception of this Israel being a nation, which it is not a nation, if they were going to get that or sacrifice that because of Orthodox Jews, well, of course they would have to. This is much more important than Orthodox Jews. On the debit side, Zionist insistence on committing the Jewish Rescue Conference to a Jewish Commonwealth in Palestine, a post-war objective, ended the chance of a united Jewish action on the immediate issue of rescue. The unavoidable conclusion is that during the Holocaust, which never happened, the leadership of American Zionism concentrated its major force on the drive of a future Jewish state in Palestine. It consigned rescue of the Jews to a distinctly secondary position, just like I just said. This information clears up several points. First, it explains why the Jewish international financiers would finance Hitler. They were trying to destroy their rivals, the Orthodox Jews, and to create the conditions necessary for world and Jewish enthusiasm for a Jewish takeover of Palestine. They were also moving the world towards the power's objective, the one world religion of Masonry. The Orthodox Jews can be as fixed. Now remember, if the one world religion is Masonry, then the one world religion is the Kabbalah, and the one world religion would be Judaism and communism. See, communism, we have found, is incompatible with religion or with God. Boy, those dots are really piling up there, folks. So, they were also moving. Yes, the Orthodox Jews can be as fixed on the Bible's morality as the Christians. No, they can't. It explains the actions of Churchill and Roosevelt, too, toward the plight of the Orthodox Jews. I think we're going to have to stop right there, because time is a constriction. We're on page 391, ladies and gentlemen. And my, the dots that are connecting. Every week we learn more another week of the Jews. Yeah. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. That's the world we live in. But I know that you must be saying, I now understand a lot of things that I never understood before. You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and until next time, study to show thyself approved.